Hi, my name is Barry Manandi and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
Time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
She's on happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it was Venus, so thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Yes, it's the biggest sports show on Zimbabwe Radio, and it's right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. And what a power-packed edition of the show we've got lined up for you this evening. And in the studio to deliver that show, we got Chris Meadzi. Chris, you're looking absolutely dapper. Pity it's radio, if it was TV.
Everybody could see.
I'd say, listen, stand up and let them see what you're wearing.
You know what? It's my other life. I have to dress like this for my other life.
For the other life. Yeah. Well, for the next hour, Chris, your life is sport. And of course, the other voice that you heard laughing in the studio is Barry Manandi in all red. Is this in celebration of Liverpool or it's just open defiance?
I think it was just a mistake. Just pick things at random.
I thought you were going to say defiant.
I also need everybody to know you guys are wearing the same t-shirt in different colors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Do you guys call each other in the morning?
No, actually, we didn't.
You didn't?
It was just a coincidence.
It's exactly the same t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, Bunch is wearing a Golden Eagles jersey.
Thank you, Bunch.
Very lovely jersey.
They told you to wear this jersey.
They told you to wear that. Well, because Golden Eagles is obviously celebrating, the junior team.
Under 17s
are winning the Gloria.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay.
And imperiously as well.
22 points?
22 points ahead of the team in second. Two defeats all season long.
That age group is the right age group.
That's the right age group.
The golden age group.
Lots to look forward to there. Remember the names of Alshadai Sadomba, the likes of Lamo Machinga, those names. You'll be paying to watch them
in a few years' time. Hopefully by then Golden Eagles will be in the Premier League. And of course, like I said, we've got a power-packed edition of ZFM Sport lined up for you. And the stories you can look forward to on this evening's edition: Zimbabwe Rugby Union's Interim Management Committee has unveiled 8 key milestones.
Very important for us to show, number one, that rugby is continuing in Zimbabwe and that there's a plan in place, a continuity plan in place through the IMC, the Interim Management Committee that has been elected.
In the Zimoco Formula One report, McLaren have wrapped up the Constructors' Championship.
Lando Norris has finished third behind Max Verstappen, and a McLaren on the podium means that they are Constructors' Champions for the second successive year.
And in the beautiful game, we'll be on the continent where Patrice Motsepe continues to wave his magic wand at CAF as the Confederation has announced a return to profitability.
The Confederation of Africa Football has announced a return to profitability, reversing several years of financial deficits and achieving significant growth as part of the organization's turnaround strategy adopted in 2021.
So it's an edition of ZFM Sport that is dominated by off-field issues. And we want to hear your administrative takes on 0772-168-045. 0772-168-045. 4:45, we're going to be hitting the fan zone straight after our play of the day, and we'll try and have you, of course, have your messages, as many of them read out as is possible. For now, it's the Power Play, Top Hit Tuesday.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Just a reminder of our interactive platforms, 0772-168-045. That's WhatsApp. Send us a message or voice note if you will. Keep it short, sharp, and clean. Remember, this is a family show most of the times. Except for Wacky Wednesday. And don't forget, of course, you can find us across all social media. Simply search for ZFM Sport. And we are available as a podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Simply search for ZFM Sport and subscribe. We are talking rugby this evening, and Zimbabwe Rugby Union's Interim Management Committee has unveiled 8 key milestones that will guide the union's reformation journey from this month through to the 2027 Rugby World Cup cycle. The IMC was appointed by the Sports and Recreation Commission of Zimbabwe and is a clear roadmap that represents a decisive step towards restoring governance credibility, strengthening rugby structures, and positioning Zimbabwe rugby for a sustainable success. Let's hear from SRC Vice Chairperson Shingai Ruwaya, who highlighted the IMC's function.
I think it was critical for us because there were a lot of questions that remained open following the dissolution of the ZRU board. And it was very important for us to show, number one, that rugby is continuing in Zimbabwe and that there's a plan in place, a continuity plan in place through the IMC, the Interim Management Committee that has been elected. This will take over from the mandate of the ZRU board as it existed. So all partnerships, all relationships, all mandates, including any corporate governance issues that were at play that haven't been resolved, will be handled by the IMC. We as the SRC are in full support of this team of amazing individuals who are going to be dedicating their time to rugby in preparation for the World Cup. So we just call on all Zimbabweans to really rally behind the IMC. They're not going to work alone. It's likely that they will constitute various committees that will be supporting various key focus areas. High performance is one of them, financial accountability is the other one, review of the constitution is another. So there's a huge amount of opportunity for people who are involved in rugby, who love the game, who want to see us win at the World Cup and have a sustainable sport in Zimbabwe, to come on board and assist as well through the IMC.
That was, of course, Shingai Ruwaya, who is the SRC Vice Chairperson, clarifying the role of the IMC as far as rugby is concerned. And the IMC's transitional mandate is anchored on 4 defining outcomes. Number one, long-term financial sustainability for the union. Number two, a governance framework that promotes competitiveness and continuity, transparency, independence, and accountability. Number three, the democratic election of a new Zimbabwe Rugby Union Board under a reformed constitution. And number four, the successful participation of the Sables at the Men's Rugby World Cup in the year 2027. I know Shingai talks about amazing individuals, but I would say to her, let's not be hasty to call people amazing until they actually get to work, Chris.
Yeah, we usually find that we have fantastic profiles, and we put together a really good group.
Great CVs.
It looks like a really good group, looks like good leadership. But when it comes to actually getting into the nitty-gritties of delivery, we often see something different. I think we saw it in football quite distinctly in terms of what that delivery was supposed to look like. I do like the fact that they've come out with a very clear agenda. We have milestones and timelines against which to measure them. So that's going to be really easy. Performance review is going to be really easy. But I think they've got a blank canvas. They are a blank canvas right now. So no comments or judgments yet. But it's blank canvas, and I hope they use it well.
Barry, what's clear is that they've got quite a lot of work to do. And I think one of the places we need to start as far as our discussion is concerned is the area of governance. Because without solid governance structure, structures without a constitution that's aligned to Rugby Africa and World Rugby, it will be very difficult for the Zimbabwe Rugby Union to be effective. And I think it's important, it's critical that they start, of course, their reform in that particular area.
You're so right, because if you look at the milestones, point number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7 all rate related to governance. That's in an 8-point plan. So barring 2, everything relates to governance. So that's the major mandate. The nice to have is obviously to take the national senior men's team to the World Cup in 2027.
We have qualified, which will
signal,
already.
We have qualified, yeah. which will signal the end of the IMC. But in those 18 months, they've got some serious graft to do to make sure that the organization is in a state that when they hold elections after the World Cup, the team that comes in is then able just to bed themselves and get their feet under the desk and pretty much preside over a working system.
Well, one of the key challenges that they're going to face, Alois, and I want us obviously to juxtapose this with the normalization committee that came into football, because for those of you who are not rugby fans, this really is a normalization committee,
yeah, exactly.
By more, another name.
Yeah.
So rugby is going through the same processes that football underwent under Lincoln Mutasa and his board, which is, of course, over the last couple of years in Zimbabwe football. Now, one of the challenges they're going to face, Alois, is the point around long-term financial sustainability. And the reason why I say this is that there are, I think, a couple of things that are going to mask how effective they are. The first one being the increase in funding that comes to countries that qualify
for the World Cup. Yeah.
So there's going to be an inflow of money that's going to come in, which they haven't necessarily worked for.
Yes.
In truth, it has been earned by the regime they've just kicked out of office.
Yes.
Okay? And then secondly, that in itself is going to mean that there's going to be a bit of money awash at Zimbabwe Rugby in the next couple of years.
Yes.
And people may mistake that to be the work
for good
of
government.
This particular thing. Because that's what we saw in the normalization committee.
Yeah. Isn't
it? Because FIFA was funding the functions of the Football Association. Everything was hunky-dory. But in truth, they left Ngobile Magwizi's administration without anything really meaningful as far as financial sustainability was concerned. So I hope we're going to see, Alois, a lot more than just the money that's going to come in for more rugby.
Yeah, you put it very correctly there, Mike, because there's money that is flowing in and they're going to be doing things that are glittering and we'll be thinking that things are well in rugby. But in actual fact, they are not restructuring rugby. They are not putting structures in place for long-term sustainability, for the rugby development, you know, for us to be seeing young developing players coming through the system. We want to see the systems, we want to see the structures, not the fanfare at the top, at the rugby, you know, at the World Cup rugby, where we see they'll be wearing nice blazers, nice everything, you know.
And that's, hockey pads.
Exactly, that's not what we are looking for. Like you rightly said, amazing was put before the work.
Yes.
Amazing people. We want to see these amazing people when they leave.
Yeah.
What they leave behind when we see the others coming in, taking up from where they left. Unlike what was done to Magwizi, like you said, Magwizi found nothing.
I was saying,
but at the same time, we qualified for AFCON.
Yes.
And we were happy we qualified for AFCON. There's Anki Dori, but we are back where we were 10 years ago. We still don't have the structures. Now Magwizi is struggling to actually get the structures in place, which we thought that the normalization committee could have done.
Which was supposed to be done during normalization.
Exactly. Now, so we hope that this is going to happen in rugby. We don't find ourselves going through the same thing that happened to soccer.
And now, Barry, one of the key things, obviously, I think that we need to take a look at is, I think as far as most sort of like sports governing bodies are concerned, whether it's FIFA, whether it's the International Cricket Council, and in this case, World Rugby, is that
usually funding is performance-based, and it's contingent on certain things that need to be fulfilled. That is what we see with the FIFA Forward program in football. And I think the same, obviously, obtains with rugby. So these guys have to govern the sport well in order for World Rugby to come to the party.
Yes, they do. And if we're to believe the noises that have come out of the SRC, the noises that have come out of the various stakeholders within rugby, World Rugby has been part of the process. And one of the demands that they made was they wanted financial accountability for the new funds that are coming and the increase in funding that you're talking about. And the IMC, that's one of the key pillars for which they will be judged in terms of managing the pot of funds and making sure that rugby actually progresses and moves forward. We have a golden opportunity because we are one of the top 25 nations in the world in terms of rugby playing nations. So we have a golden opportunity to stay there, number one. Number two, we're playing a lot more elite rugby, but the key is that we have to make it count, and how we do that is we manage the sport correctly.
All right, keep your messages coming in, and there are many coming in on 0772 168 045. Arthur is coming early from the United Kingdom, and he says, Anz, when you say words like normalization, you trigger us.
PTSD.
And then,
okay, IMZ.
All right, that's the, if Zimbabwe had not qualified for the World Cup, would they have dissolved the board that was there? That IMC is just there to take money. That's all. So there is a cynic that's got in touch. Send us your message, 0772 168 045. We'll be reading your messages during the Fan Zone. We're giving you, of course, the Zimoko Formula One report in a minute, and then it's football in the second half of the show. But for now, let's give you a local sports news roundup with Chris.
Stay right where you are. Move to the groove of the nation. The Home Front. Local sports news and analysis.
Some golf news. Zimbabwe's Scott Vincent refused to dwell on disappointment after narrowly missing out on a second victory of the season at the Jakarta International Championship, losing in a playoff to Australia's Wade Ormsby. Vincent was on course to become the first player to win back-to-back events in the international series, having won the international series Morocco in July before losing to Australian Wade Ormsby on the first hole of a sudden death playoff. In cricket news, after the Chevrons' perfect campaign secured their place at the 2026 ICC Men's T20 World Cup, head coach Justin Simmons was quick to praise his side's flawless performance. Simmons says he's proud of how the team navigated a difficult period leading up to the qualifiers, which saw them endure a challenging winter of losses against cricketing heavyweights like England, South Africa, New Zealand and Sri Lanka. Let's finish off with a Warriors camp update. Zimbabwe international goalkeeper Washington Arubi says the Warriors still have the spirit and strength to rise again despite their recent struggles on the international stage. The 40-year-old shot stopper is already in camp with the national team as they prepare for two final World Cup qualifiers against South Africa and Lesotho. Anchored at the bottom of the group with just 4 points, the Warriors can no longer qualify for the next round. Still, Arubi believes there's value in fighting to the end.
Summer's here.
Come on.
Turning up the heat this summer with more music from the 90s to now.
90s to now in the sunshine.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. From sunny Melbourne to the streets of Monaco, the deserts of Bahrain to the jungles of Brazil, get up to speed on the Formula One Report. The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zimoco, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zimoco, specialized service for special brands.
Do double cabs leave you feeling underwhelmed? Powerful, yes. But where's the excitement and comfort you truly want?
Have you ever owned a double cab, Bas? Have you ever owned a truck, a bucky, a double cab?
I have not. I have not.
Have you driven one?
I have driven one. I used to drive one on and off for work when I was working in
delivery
in the
man.
Was it a double cab? Well, put it somewhere. I didn't see. No. I was working in the medical industry, so one of the things we had to do was customer visits and that sort of thing. So we'd go in the double cab, but it was a clunky, you know, chunky monkey that didn't really do the job. So the answer is no. However, if you meet the GWM P300 double cab, you get tough, which is tough enough for any road, smooth enough for the city. It's ready for your daily grind. The P300 redefines what a double cab can do.
It doesn't just meet expectations, it sets a new standard. Power comes from a dynamic 2.4-litre turbo diesel engine paired with an intelligent 9-speed automatic gearbox, ensuring a remarkably smooth ride every time.
Get in and feel the difference. The pickup's interior is a pleasant surprise, featuring premium seats, a surprising amount of shoulder and leg room, and luxury features you wouldn't expect. Everything's at your fingertips on the massive 12.3-inch touchscreen. Enjoy Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and even wireless phone charging. Say goodbye to tangled cabs in your car. Stay tuned to find out more.
On to our Formula One news. Now, after sealing the Constructors' Championship at the Singapore Grand Prix this past Sunday, Formula One pundits believe McLaren should take the gloves off and allow Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri to battle it out amid rising tension between the two drivers. Oscar Piastri labelled Lando Norris' aggressive overtake as, quote, unfair, after McLaren opted not to intervene in the intra-team squabble in Singapore.
Obviously a difficult race, difficult first lap, but I've not seen the replay, obviously. I just know from in car, so I'll go and have a look, but it's obviously a great night for the whole team. Obviously not the race I was looking for, but for the whole team, tonight is a combination of a lot of hard work over not just this year, but lots of years. So.
You look at that maneuver where Norris went out the outside of Oscar Piastri, and then Piastri trying to get the position back. Ultimately, Lando Norris finishing in third, Piastri in fourth. You get the feeling, if we look several races back, Mike, that the team, yes, say there are no team orders, race, but it looks like they've got a soft spot for Lando Norris.
Absolutely. And I think for them, Lando is the number one driver of the team. Whether they want to admit it or not, they feel that he's the bigger brand. They feel that he's the big story. And so they look like they're backing him without saying so, because you don't necessarily have to say it, but we can see, just like you were saying, through some of the decisions that they made, or through some of the things that they are willing to let go. Certain things that they should be reining in. And so you got to feel for Piastri, because no one expected Piastri to be in this position.
Yes,
I don't think McLaren themselves expected Piastri to be in this position. And it's testament to his absolutely phenomenal driving skills that they've actually wrapped up the Constructors' title as early as this. Yeah. And I do agree with the sentiment that they should be allowed to race now. They should be allowed to go for it. May the best driver win. Yeah. Because ultimately, I still think, even though Max is lurking in the background, I still think we're going to get a McLaren champion.
Who
it is now should really be dependent on the better driver.
Yeah, and from what we've seen, Chris, if danger is not included, Oscar Piastri, the Australian, is a much better driver and a safer driver, but Lando Norris is taking risks that the danger is, fine, if you're endangering yourself, that's fine. But sometimes it endangers both drivers, and a double DNF doesn't work for anyone.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Look, I think he's making those risks. I think even if it's not said outright to us, I think potentially internally, or he can possibly just feel it, that, you know what, this team is backing me. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to get around those corners to make sure that I at least finish on podium. And it's a very selfish approach.
Yeah.
But I think
spoiled.
McLaren doesn't help the situation. Yeah. Because if they had come out and said, look, we are backing Lando, it would have been clear for everyone. But in this case, where they just say, oh no, they're racing, we don't have a driver one, two, and then they make decisions that show they've got a driver one, I think it does put Lando Norris under a bit of pressure to take those kind of risks, which could potentially impact the entire team.
You know what? I'll just simplify it, guys. Lando Norris is Brit. McLaren is the best of Britain.
Yeah.
Best of Britain, yeah.
Yeah.
Let a British driver win the driver's championship
McLaren.
In a British car.
That's it.
That's what they're
hoping. That's the story for them.
The Aussie doesn't work for them. Doesn't tell the same story. The driver's standings, Oscar Piastri is still out in front on 336. Lando Norris is in second on 314. Max Verstappen is lurking, like Mike said earlier. He's on 273. He's made serious headway in the last three Grand Prix, and so they should watch for him. George Russell is having a phenomenal season in fourth on 237, and then the two Ferraris, Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton, are in fifth and sixth. The McLaren has wrapped up the Drivers' Championship. It was never in doubt. They're on 623 points. Get this, Mercedes in second is on 290 points. 623 and 290. That is the gap that McLaren has opened this season. Ferrari in third, or 286, and then Red Bull is on 272 in fourth, with Williams on 101. Formula One's title race now heads back, driver's title now race heads to North America with the United States Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, up first this weekend.
Right, we're talking about the P300, and I can tell you it delivers, especially if you're one who craves adventure. It features a robust 4x4 system and electronic diff locks to conquer any terrain. High-end models even include a front tow winch as standard. You know, my son is always talking about a tow winch.
Really?
Yes, with his little cars and
tinted.
So forth. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, all the bits and pieces.
Okay, because
I reckon the modern-day kids,
yeah,
their vocabulary and what they know is probably at the level of a 15, 16-year-old.
Yeah,
I agree. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think just knowing the term toe.
Yes.
Okay.
Toe much winch. Less toe winch.
Much as toe winch.
Absolutely.
Just quickly, I need to pull your car, we used to say, Tintin's age.
Yeah.
Toe was possibly teenager.
He was even telling me about a solar system. He's 6 years old. Telling me about a solar system. Tracks. He even told me that Pluto is no longer classified as a planet.
Wow.
So he's been watching The Wire.
Did he watch the news?
So I was like, what? I was like, Pluto is a planet. He's like, it's not a planet, Dad.
Not anymore. Now, with this impressive towing capacity, you can easily...
With a
tow winch. You can easily bring all your gear and toys along for the ride. In summary, the GWNP 300 is tough on the outside, luxurious on the inside, and ready for anything. To get the full details of this truly amazing double cab pickup, get in touch with Zumoko, the GWM specialist, to discuss which model is right for you.
All GWM models purchased through Zumoko come with a 7-year or 200,000 kilometer factory warranty, whichever comes first. That's for extra peace of mind and dedicated after sales support that will keep you on the road for longer. Secure your GWM P300 now. Email inquiries at zamoko.co.zw and level up your personal garage or corporate fleet with the extensive GWM range available only through Zamoko. Zamoko, specialized service for special brands.
The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zimoko, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zimoko, specialized service for special brands.
Hi, you're listening to ZFM Sport. My name's Graham Sharp, and I'm the first Zimbabwean to take on the Dakar Rally in a bike.
Z. Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We start in Colombo, where South Africa bounced back from their humiliating defeat by England as Tasman Britt's stunning century helped the Proteas defeat New Zealand by 6 wickets at the Women's World Cup. In news from Perth, amateur players will have the chance to win $1 million Australian dollars when they face top tennis professionals, including world number one Carlos Alcaraz, in a single point showdown before January's Australian
Open. Come on, Sean.
Sean. Come on, Sean.
Are you going?
Come on,
a
Sean.
Single point.
A single point. Come on, Sean.
Yes.
Surely, Sean.
That's all you have to do. Are you
a single point? Me, Tashamari. We share. Come on.
A single point.
Single point.
Ah, you got no chance, though. Because the guy will kill you at the serve.
And then there's...
Ace.
Ah, you'll be gone.
I will say, though, Sean's got a mean serve.
So here's the deal. You go in, and then you say, let me serve.
And then?
And you got a chance, because he's got a return.
I think if you serve...
Because if he serves with you...
It's rock, paper, scissors to decide who serves.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Oh.
Who came up with this?
Someone who likes...
But I think they should have gone with just a coin toss.
Yeah.
50-50.
50-50,
I think you got more of a chance. I do agree.
If you serve, okay, yeah.
Because if he serves, if he gets
in... You're not returning that.
You're done.
Nema serves. How many kilometers?
And not just that. You know, they got all sorts the thing, the one that kicks
out. Yes, that kicks out. They'll mix it up for you.
Mix
it. Things you haven't read before. But it's a cool concept. I like it.
In California, LeBron James sparked a flurry of social media speculation last night after saying he would announce his second decision tonight, sparking fresh speculation on when he would retire. It's been time. It's been time, and we're very over this. This touchdown in Florida, where Trevor Lawrence tripped and fell on the ground, stumbling, trying to get up, finally got back on his feet, and then scrambled for a one-yard touchdown with 23 seconds left to lift the Jacksonville Jaguars to a 31-28 win over the Kansas City Chiefs to wrap up week 5 in the NFL.
This I love that
is hit music.
So much
I want the summer feeling.
This is Lady Gaga.
I'm Dua Lipa.
What's up? I'm St. John.
All the hits.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, let's go to our platform here. Messages coming through, and we'll read this one here. This is a defiant Liverpool fan, Anzin De Chessman. We're Liverpool, but Eastview, Liverpool will beat Man United by more than 3 goals. Wait and see. So he's already waiting for the next match day. But you got 2 weeks to stew in the latest defeat, Chessman.
They're out of marinating this.
As the evening, the best of the nation. Confession, as I never liked Formula One, but when you guys can sell ice cream to an Eskimo. Now it's interesting. This is the countdown guy. Well, we're happy to be of service to you guys. Hi, guys. I think our national football team should take these two remaining games seriously in order to prepare for AFCON in December. I think Washington Aribi is right. Thank you. That is Humphrey from Bulawa. And, of course, the team, Alois, is out in Durban preparing for the game versus Bafana Bafana. It's a game that's now assumed monumental importance because South Africa need the points.
Yes.
Zimbabwe are playing for pride.
Right.
And of course, the rivalry between the two nations. It promises to be an absolutely packed, chock-a-block Moses Mabhida. And Zimbabwe, I think, should relish the role of party spoiler.
Yeah, it's a banana skin. Yeah, I
think... And we wear yellow.
Exactly. Zion is in pyjamas.
Yeah, you see, the rivalry, it comes across team colors as well. Because we wear exactly the same colors. It depends who is wearing green, who is wearing yellow tomorrow.
True.
Probably if we wear white, I don't know what if we're going to wear white or yellow tomorrow. But I don't think we wear yellow because South Africa will be wearing yellow.
No, they won't wear yellow.
What are they wearing, green?
No, Zimbabwe.
They're away.
Zimbabwe will choose what to wear.
That's what I'm saying. South Africa. It's Zimbabwe. We are wearing yellow. So South Africa will be wearing white.
They can wear whatever they want.
They'll be wearing white.
Do you know what I'll actually do?
I don't think they'll wear
green. They're really dark green.
That green.
Do you know what I'll do?
Yeah.
Just to add, you know, to the
intrigue.
I would actually revert to our original Warriors colors.
Yellow tops, green
yellow
shorts.
Yellow top, green shorts, and yellow socks.
Yellow socks, yeah.
That's what I would wear.
Yes,
which is their colors.
Their colors as well.
Yeah. Say right.
And then intimidate, they wear all white.
Yeah.
Force them to wear all white. There's so much at stake. And, you know, once the players see the full crowd. Once they see, because the Zimbabwean crowd, they don't like South Africa. So they will be coming with their flags and waving them and everything. Once the Zimbabwean players see those flags, I'm telling you, they are going to be fired up.
Let me ask you this though.
I'm telling you.
Before you call, you were in different dressing rooms at different South African clubs, Sundowns and Bidvest Wits, for example. Yeah. What was the sentiment there in terms of the rivalry between you as a Zimbabwe international and the Bafana Bafana players? How was it like?
It was intense, Mike. It was a situation whereby it was more like trying to show each other that we are better. Mm-hmm. You know, in that period where I was in South Africa, almost every South African club had a top Zimbabwean player. True. A Zimbabwean player was a key player at that club. Mm-hmm. Almost every club. So they had this complex about Zimbabwe and Zimbabwean football. They just had that complex. They just wanted to break Zimbabwe apart. So it was that rivalry that was so intense, even in the changing room, building up to a game. If we knew we were going to play against each other, even when you play Golden Arrows, when you play Kwakwa Stars, you could actually feel the opposition that they are out to get me. So the rivalry would have already started, knowing that I'll be playing for Zimbabwe in the next game. So it cuts across that period, and now I feel that period of knowledge Msona and Kama Billiard, it brought back that rivalry again, because they were dominating South African football at that time. They didn't like it at all. So that brought that rivalry again. So now these guys are back in the fold. They are playing in that game. So it just brings that flavor to this game. You know, that game is going to be a blockbuster. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the best games that you could ever. It's going to be rough. It's going to be fast. What I know, it's going to be fast-paced. And the good thing is being played in the evening. So it's going to be very fast.
All right, Anzi, your Friday is around the corner. Anzi, you're the stress. I hope you're going to wait on my spoilers and the Gazirisaima medical aid that is coming through from Maka. Someone again here, I never liked Formula One, but through you guys, I'm now a follower of the sport, and also have watched the Drive to Survive series after you spoke about it on radio. This is Simba Palusaka. More messages coming through here. This is Roberto from Bulawa. He says, evening, gentlemen and lady. I believe we were hard on Sean Fusile. I found out on Sky Sports that Sheffield Wednesday missed a few payments. The lighty was broke. What does that have to do with anything, though?
What does it?
Let's separate issues, okay? He was. It's not like he was being told come on a bus, okay? He was flying just the same way every other player flies.
Yeah,
and he opted out.
Yeah,
which is his right.
Yeah,
so there's no feeling sorry. It's perfectly fine for someone to say.
And the funny thing is, players like Shirewa, players like Rushesha, all those other guys came from England.
Yeah,
and came. Economy
Naka.
And joint
Nakamba
and joint camp. So I think to demand to make some of the demands that he did, I think he was taking a liberty. Because at the end of the day, I think not even the president of the association flies business class unless he's
he went a bit too far
unless he's using his own funds. But that is
also maybe it's a case of Sean wanted a business class ticket and he was unable to then upgrade himself. Of course,
if everyone else, guys, let me tell you one of the funny things that happened actually during that time. So, on the way to Cote d'Ivoire, guess who was sitting in economy class on the same plane as the Warriors?
Who?
From Addis. In an Ethiopian Airways, no less.
Yeah.
Frank Kessie. Do you know how much Frank Kessie earns?
He's in Saudi, isn't he?
He's in Saudi Arabia.
He earns.
And he's earning $500,000 a week.
A week?
He was sitting in economy.
And he's not a small fella.
And so let's put things into perspective, guys. When we talk about some of these things.
There's nothing wrong with the economy.
Especially
on a big plane. There's nothing wrong.
You and
it's
I very,
shiga shiga,
after the last AFCON, we flew back with Bafana Bafana. Mm-hmm. After the last AFCON in Cote d'Ivoire.
In economy.
We were in economy. Mm-hmm. Everyone. Yeah. Apart from Danny Yordan, including Hugo Bruce.
Yeah.
their coach.
It's so comfortable, guys, to be honest.
And they were having a joe. They were singing. Yeah. They were laughing.
And that's the third best team in Africa.
So, guys, some of these demands.
Playing on Friday. We're playing bronze medalist on Friday.
Just went overboard.
All right, Anzi. Guys, okay. Anzi, guys, great show. Keep it up. What is it that worked last season that Slot is not doing this season? I know it's early days, but in my view, Diaz is missed in that Liverpool side. I agree.
Diaz is a big miss.
I got a mistake, but
yeah,
it's a big miss.
He wasn't replaced.
And he also hasn't quite got the balance. There's a challenge that's not being talked about. Florian Wirtz is used to playing in the space that's occupied by Mo Salah. He's trying to find the best fit for Florian Wirtz and not managing. So there's a bit of a transition, and it happens in football.
All right, Anzi, good evening, ZFM sports team. The big question, so my question remains, where are the under 15, under 16, under 17, under 18, under 19, under 20, under 21 national teams for both boys and girls camping during the FIFA window? Does our ZIFA know that the FIFA window is not for Munetsi and Nakamba only, but also for our Kiwe and Chakuchichi? This is Vachana in Harare. But Hakuna under 16. Let's guess that my age groups don't exist.
It's an opportunity for us to always group these kids together so that they
get coach.
Familiar with their coach and everything. Just come for that weekend. Come on Friday, you train on Saturday, play a friendly game on Sunday, disperse and go home on Monday. It's very necessary.
I mean, what does that statement say? Tamba mese mujaira.
Exactly. It's very necessary. Under 20 in 2 years' time, we have to start keeping them together.
Let's get rid of these ones.
So you actually believe we don't have
I think we have to believe that.
let's forget about it. I think there's a new man in charge of technical affairs at ZIFA now, Dominic Nyozima. I think that was his first tournament. He was just, three weeks into the job.
Yep.
I think he was able to see for himself. Let him chart his own path now and build his own teams, his own squads, his own pool of coaches and so forth. And then let's actually get the best players. Because I find it hard to agree that those were our best players at that age.
I don't agree.
Yeah, but I do agree with the concept that I think occasionally that our teams should be brought together so that they can be trained, so that they can be equipped and become better players.
CFM Stereo is untouchable. The beating drum. Fans, take a ride on the wild side with the Africa Report on CFM Sport.
Right, so it's time for the beautiful game, Barry, and we're on the continent.
And CAF has announced a return to profitability, reversing several years of financial deficits and achieving significant growth as part of the organization's turnaround strategy adopted in 2021. This was announced at the 47th CAF Ordinary General Assembly in Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo.
For a moment, you almost sounded like, what's his name? A former ZBC fella. He's now doing podcasts.
Who? Oscar Pambuka.
Meanwhile.
Yes. Oscar.
But that was his signature thing.
That was his signature.
Meanwhile.
And he would pause before it and he'd be like.
Exactly.
Meanwhile. Oh my God. Oscar. But Dr. Patrice Motsepe has done a phenomenal job.
He has.
At CAF. We've backed him on the show here for all these years, and now he's got them back to profitability, Chris, which is major, given that a lot of this has come out of the commercial growth, as well as the growth of the game. On the green grass, things are happening as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you take a look at growing commercial revenues in sport, I think especially on this continent, not so easy.
Not easy, yeah.
Not so easy. And what they've managed to do is to, you know, take everything in terms of your new sponsors, new revenue lines, I'm sure new broadcast deals as well that have allowed that revenue to come in. But even if that revenue is coming in, another key aspect would be your financial controls, which is very, very important, especially on our lovely continent, to make sure that if that money is coming in, there better not be any leaks anywhere.
Those two beautiful words, cost containment.
Cost containment, making sure we contain costs and ensure that we increase revenues. Now we're at profitability. I think it's significant change, especially considering they have also been making some investments in terms of that development. So really great coming out of CAF. Some fantastic news. I think Dr. Mtsepa has done a great job, and I don't think there's any questions around what he's managed to do in football at this level.
Yeah, revenues 166.42 million, net profit 9.48 million for the financial year 2023-2024. And I'm sure he walked into that conference hall, Alois, chest out, shoulders up, ready to announce that CAF is headed in the right direction. But I think it's important that, yes, fine, the governance, administrative stuff is working. But there's another big element. Football is working. The money is flowing down. We've seen it in the CAF Champions League, in the Confederations Cup. We've seen it to the member associations. The money is filtering through so everyone can feel it.
Yeah, it's not just about profitability. Like you say, everyone can feel the money. And then I'll come back and tell you that it's not just about the money.
Yeah.
It's about the structures in football that are being built. Look at the schools, COSAFA schools. Look at the under 17 COSAFA tournament, well organized and everything. You can actually feel that there's something that is cooking for African football, the development aspect of it, not just about the money. The money is going down to the right places, and you can actually feel it. You can actually feel the development of African football. You can feel the standard of African football at the AFCON.
Yes.
You watch the AFCON, you could actually see the standard. That's what we want. What is left
now? And those
now
global eyeballs have turned into money, haven't they?
Exactly. Now is the push now for those countries that are still lagging behind, like us, without a stadium, with international quality, and Sutu and all this. It's now it has to come to, we need to be at Ivory Coast standards.
Yes.
Every country in Africa should have stadiums like Ivory Coast.
Yeah, 100%. That's only CAF can influence for us to head in that direction. The increase in prize money and investment in football, Mike, is what Alois is talking about. You've got some of the numbers that have actually been happening, and they're startling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the CAF Champions League winners' prize money increased by 60%. $4 million.
That's
and the overall prize money that they actually shell out increased by 41% to a total of $17.5 million. That's phenomenal. Preliminary round support, for example, you know, Kudara, it never used to exist.
Yeah.
From this 25 to 2026 clubs that qualify for the CAF Interclub preliminary rounds, they receive $100,000.
So Simba Bora got the 100K.
So Simba Bora got 100K.
Yeah.
Just for participating.
Just for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that they did not spend 100K for their two matches in Botswana
as well
as in Eswatini. So it means that they've alleviated the financial burden of participating on the continent.
Yeah.
And in truth, clubs right now don't have an excuse to not participate in competitions of this nature. As far as the women's game is concerned, the CAF Women's Champions League, the total prize money went up by 52% to $600,000 for the winners, and the group stage teams also benefited from increased allocations. And then you can go on and on. The CAF Africa Africa Cup of Nations, for example, in 2023, the winners received 7 million US dollars.
Wow.
40% increase, with total prize money standing at 32 million US dollars for the teams that participated at that edition. Zimbabwe is participating at Morocco 2025.
So there's a nice amount of money coming into Zimbabwe.
A nice little kitty.
Nice,
but the boys will have to pull up their socks.
They will have to.
And get a few wins under their belt.
Yeah. If they do, there's actually more money coming through. So Patrice Motsepe doing a phenomenal job, just like when he told Alois that your car is not good enough for the car park.
Yeah.
Go and buy a new BMW.
He told Alois.
That has always been his mindset.
Who's got this rubbish car that's parked out there?
No,
Alois.
No,
I was there.
No.
It was a cute car.
He said STI. If you ask anybody whatever in South Africa, they will tell
but
you.
But you went and got a BMW.
Car. But
that's
he said it's too small for this club.
For some reason,
you buy a new car.
Yeah.
It's immediately.
Come to the office on Monday. We'll sort you out.
Shucks, man.
You have to buy a new car. Then,
what did you do to the Sentra?
I sold it to a friend. I still topped it up and for the BMW. That's my first BMW.
Is that when you fell in love with BMW?
I appreciate him for that. Yeah. Because if he didn't do that, I'm telling you, I wasn't going to
play. He's always been like that, and he's transforming African football all at the same time. Long may it remain, and long may it go. Mike, very quickly, Harry Kane is doing startling things in Germany. We have to put some respect on his name.
Absolutely. I think I was remarking in the car park, was it yesterday?
Yes,
if we are to just consider Ballon d'Or 4 for this season.
Do you want to tell us body of work now?
Body of work now. For me, Harry Kane is the front runner.
Is the front runner.
He's been absolutely phenomenal. But we know that now Bayern Munich has to come to the party in the Champions League.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
If you just get the gong.
Because it seems now that the Champions League, the Ballon d'Or now is not what we grew up knowing
it
to be.
It's not.
When we grew up, the Ballon d'Or was for the best player in the
best
world.
Best player
in the world.
And it didn't matter whether you scored six
talent,
goals.
Yeah.
But we knew. So in this generation, I always say that Zinedine Zidane would not win a Ballon d'Or.
He wouldn't even be on the podium.
Because he wouldn't have the statistics to back him up.
That's the problem with nowadays.
Yeah, so it's now all statistics. So we now know that.
And Champions League.
If you win the Champions League.
Yes, you're
that
likely.
That team is likely to win the
Ballon d'Or.
All right. What is definite and not likely is that we'll be back tomorrow for Wacky Wednesday, so don't miss the show. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And Andy, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James at the worst is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Muddled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.